We'll begin today's chapter and verse broadcast with this interesting point from the book of Matthew with Mike McIntosh.
There is no place in the Bible that it says to a Christian, don't pay your taxes or try to get out of paying your taxes. It's quite the opposite. Render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar, but render unto God what is due to God.
And I'll stand up and shout.
This is the Thursday edition of Chapter and Verse Radio, where we're nearing the conclusion of our studies in the book of Matthew. This gospel takes us through a broad spectrum of scriptural territory. Matthew moves us from the genealogy of the patriarchs in chapter 1 to the start of the church age at the book's conclusion. Primarily, Matthew presents a biography of Jesus Christ, tracing his earthly life from preparation to ascension. The Judgment and Crucifixion of Jesus is our title today on Chapter and Verse. Now let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27, as we join our instructor, Mike McIntosh.
Now, a mentor at the top could bring him up quickly with rank. Now, I have a friend in a police department I've known. Well, he started the police department. It's not in our town, but he started as an explorer scout. And then became a reserve police officer, then went to college and got his degree, came back to his town and became a regular police officer. And I met him maybe 2 or 3 years after he became a police officer. And I've known him for many, many, many years. And I remember when he said, should I take the sergeant's test? And I said, absolutely, you can be the chief of this department someday. And he said, oh, get out of here. I said, no, take it. You are going to be the chief, and you can't become the chief unless you're a sergeant first. So he got to be sergeant. Well, about 2.5 years later, he said, you know, they're asking me if I want to apply to be a lieutenant. This just didn't happen that quickly. And I said, you're going to be the captain, so just let God forget the lieutenant deal. Just go right to captain, then the chief. So take the test. You're going to get it. So then he says, oh, I'm not going to be the chief. And he took the test, became the lieutenant. Then he comes to me about 6 months ago and he says, you know, they're testing for captain. We have a couple of captains leaving. And should I do that or should I retire? And he says, you're going to be the chief of this department. Yeah, come on. I'm not around you 30 years just to be friends with you. I'm supposed to be with you and pray you into this position because God's got some. Oh, get out of town. So he takes the test. So he gets third in line. And the other two guys get the two captain spots. Now another captain's good. He's going to be the next captain. And the chief is going to retire in just about 2.5 years. And he said, this is going way too fast for me. I said, God's hand's on you. You know, God has his hand on many of you. Some of you live in conditions that are so good you can't believe where you lived as a child that you live in the house you live in today. God has blessed you. Oh, it was because my husband's wealthy. He's a great lawyer. He's a great doctor. He's a great whatever, a car salesman maybe. And that's why you live in the house you live in. You say, I don't understand how this has happened. God has blessed me. Well, that's how it happens. He blesses you and you don't know how it happens. He just blesses you with his grace. And so you take advantage of that and you move in that. And I think that's what happened with Pontius Pilate. He moved with the blessings. He had to go up this ladder of offices, little menial task, but he was faithful. And the people that were above him said, you know, out of the 6 guys we have working in this law office, this guy's pretty bright. Bring him on up. Bring him on up. Bring him on. Let's make him a partner. Let's make him a judge. Let's make him a senator. Let's make him the president of the United States. That's how it works. People help you. That's why it wastes your time and your energy to be bitter against people, to be angry with people, to hate people. Help people. Because if you give, it shall be given unto you. And it's such a wonderful thing to know the love of God that you can not care about anything coming back to you, but you help people. You never know who it is that you're going to help that is going to turn around in some way, help you someday. So there was a ladder of offices, including military command. So it meant he had to be in the military. So he understood the military. He knew how to order the centurions, how to order the troops around town, because he had been in the military. Up this ladder, he must climb until he's qualified to become a governor. So this is no dummy that is sitting there. Pilate must have been a tried and tested soldier and administrator. He had to go through these experiences. He became a procurator of Judea in the year AD 26, and he held office for 10 years. And when he was recalled from his post, we know that things were not going well for him in Rome because of the way Jesus was handled. It backfired on Rome. In verses 4 through 10, we saw Judas in his betrayal. And he is the great betrayer. And we saw that last message. And if you didn't hear that message last week, you can get it on CD or go to the website and download it. He is the great betrayer. And in verses 11 through 14, we saw that Jesus stayed silent. When Pilate says to him, are you the Christ? You know, they say to me that you're the king of the Jews. Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus just simply says, is that what you say? He's basically saying this, and I could ask the same question to you. Are you saying this on your own will that Jesus is the king of the Jews? Are you saying with your own understanding that Jesus is the Son of God? Or are you saying, Governor, what you hear the crowd saying? Or somebody challenging me about this? Thou sayest? That's what he's saying. Are you saying this from your own heart? Because Jesus wanted him to go to heaven too. And I think with just his presence standing in front of that legal mind of this man, I think that Pontius Pilate and his wife, maybe a couple of people you'll see in heaven. I'm not saying that that's in the Bible, but I could see how the Lord is working with him and how he's working with the Lord. He's trying to get out of this and let the Lord go free. But politics meant more to him than anything. And so he knew by the ceremony of putting his hands in the water that he could wash his hands of it and say, this is not a case I'm going to try. And he just flippantly says, you take care of this. He turned his back on what was right to do. In verses 15 to 18, Pilate is very savvy of the ways of the Jewish leaders. He knows that it is envy that motivates them. Now at that feast, the governor was wanting to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would call out. And that was the norm. At this feast, the Romans always liked to politically balance everything. And by letting somebody go free, it always kept things kind of cool. So he brought a couple of people and said, I'm going to let the crowds decide which one is going to go free. So he thought that he could get out of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ by pulling this old political ploy again. So he was using his mind in a very unique way. Let me show you in verse 16. And they had then a, would you underline the word notable? Very important. He was famous. This man was famous. There could have been 50 or 100 prisoners in the cell block that Pontius Pilate could have brought up, any one of them, but he was wise. He was a clever politician. Bring the most famous and notorious criminal up to the front of the platform and let the people see him compared to Jesus. He was a notable prisoner called Barabbas. That's his name, Barabbas. And Bar in the Hebrew means son of. He's the son of Abbas. And it says that, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Do you want to take Barabbas or do you want to take Jesus? Well, the crowds had paid shills that screamed out, release Barabbas, crucify Jesus. I am sure that shocked Pontius Pilate. He's working hard to let Jesus go free. Now, there are a lot of people in our society that are good people that are working very hard to make everything kind and good concerning Jesus. And you may be one of these good people, that Jesus is a nice man. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is a good teacher. But as far as you openly receiving him into your life and now living the life that Jesus lived, that's about as far as you'll go. You can't live like that, ladies and gentlemen. Just don't make Jesus the good guy. Make him the Lord and the Savior of your life. Don't be a Pontius Pilate that's trying to politically balance it all. Well, my family are Mormons and Catholics and Jews, and I don't want to upset any of them, you know, and be the born-again Christian person. No, you're going to have to answer just like Pontius Pilate did. Your mom, your dad, your family, everybody has to answer. Do not try to make Jesus political. It is a tragedy that the right-wing conservative Christian evangelical people have thought Jesus was a political voting block. That's a lot of money and a lot of effort spent on something that Jesus himself never did. He was never a voting block. He was never trying to change politics. He spoke out about the evils and the ills of the time. But imagine if we as Christians spent as much time and money just in prayer and loving people, how the laws would be changed. Politics. It's like an old friend of mine once said years ago as a young minister, you only have friction when two things rub. So if you find friction, back away from whatever it is you're rubbing up against and pray for it. You know, if we would spend more time loving, I bet there'd be more people in places of power that would be loving. But when you get into the political arena and you start pushing, you're going to be just like Pontius Pilate. You'll accomplish nothing. So in verse 15 to 18, we see that he is very aware that this is all about politics. Now Luke tells us this in Luke 23:2. They appeared before Pilate with a threefold charge. They came to Pontius Pilate and they had three charges against Jesus. Every charge in which was a lie, a deliberate lie to crucify Jesus. First, they charged Jesus with being a revolutionary. That's out of the religious realm. That's not in the political realm. The governor has to hear about any revolutionaries that could stir up a revolt against the Roman Empire. Secondly, with inciting the people not to pay their taxes. Now, that's an outright lie. You all know that in this room, don't you? That's a lie. What about paying taxes? And Jesus said to Peter, go down to the sea and you'll catch a fish. And when you bring him out of the water, open his mouth and you'll find a coin in there. And with that coin, pay your taxes. He never said, don't pay your taxes at all. Now, I think it's kind of cool that Jesus knew where that fish was, and he knew that there was a coin in that fish's mouth, and he knew right where to send Peter. And you know, Jesus, for all you know, since he was Jesus, as a little boy, had been talking to that fish at the sea. You know, says, someday I'm going to need your help. And the little fish says, gurble, gurble, are you okay? And he says, now listen, I've got some money here and I'm going to put this. I want you to hold this money. It might be another 30 years or 15 years, but when I call you, you be right over here on such and such a day. All right. And so the little fish, he's waiting around. I love Jesus. He made me. Jesus created me. And that fish comes over here and swims and he's just waiting. Okay, I'm waiting, Jesus. It's the day that you told me 15 years later. And Peter walks up. Imagine how astounded Peter was. He'd been fishing his entire life and never caught taxes before. So that was an outright lie. You know, when you read the New Testament, the epistles to the Christian church, there is no place in the Bible that it says to a Christian, don't pay your taxes or try to get out of paying your taxes. It's quite the opposite. Render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar, but render unto God what is due to God. You know, pay your taxes. You know, the gas deal, you know who's benefiting from the gas being at $3 going up to $5 a gallon? It's not just the gas companies. I think it was 1 cent per gallon in a 12-month period makes something like $1,328,000,000 for the gas companies, 1 cent. From last summer at a certain period in August to the August before, it went up 68 cents. So 68 times $1,300,000,000. You can see how much the gas companies made, the oil companies. But stop and think of it. You pay city tax, county tax, state tax, and federal tax. The higher the price of the gas, the more the government gets from you. Now, is that worth rebelling about and revolting about? It's too big for any of us. We're to support our government. And government doesn't always manage things well. So they look at all the things they can tax so that you don't think you're getting your taxes raised. So they raise it other places. Airline tickets, you pay airport tax, TS tax, you pay landing fee taxes, you pay print out the paper tax, you print out, you know, there's this, you know, if you sit down, they'll tax your seat. They'll get you everywhere you look. So why fight it? You know, you can be wise and clever and get a good CPA or financial advisor and tell you how to handle your money and pay less tax by being more charitable, possibly. But Jesus never said, don't pay taxes. That's a deliberate lie. The third thing, with claiming to be a king. Now, there could be no other king in the empire. Caesar was the supreme ruler of the empire. So three things Luke tells us in chapter 23. that they did deliberately lie about. Because if they went and said, Jesus blasphemed, Pontius Pilate would say, that's your problem. Jesus says he's the king of the Jews and he's our leader. That's your problem. You know, that's all scroll stuff. That's all scripture stuff. I'm here to represent the emperor. I don't answer to the Senate. I answer to the emperor. And I'm his eyes and his ears in this neighborhood of anything that could take his power away from him. And what could? Revolutionary, no paying of taxes, and a man setting up his own party in the midst of the empire. Now he's got the ear of the governor. So they fabricated three political charges, all of them conscious lies, because they knew that only such charges would Pilate act upon. So in verse 19 to 26, we saw Pilate's confronted by his wife not to harm Jesus. Leave him alone. That'll be interesting to find out in heaven what that's about. Pilate tries to give them Barabbas. Barabbas, his name, means son of shame. Isn't that interesting? Confusion. And boy, was he a son of shame. There was a riot that broke loose in Jerusalem, and he led the riot. He was an insurrectionist, a revolutionary, and people were killed. So he was responsible for the death of those people in that riot. And his dad, to him, he was the son of shame and confusion. Barabbas will be another interesting man to see if he makes it to heaven. The people made a big mistake in verse 25, didn't they? They cursed themselves, and they said, may his blood be upon us and upon our children. In verse 27 through 31, we see they take him and they beat him and scourge him, but they put the sign up there, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Have you ever thought of this? And that's just a Hollywood rendition. He wasn't even being hit. Now, I met James Caviezel at the Billy Graham Crusade as he went, shook hands with Mr. Graham, and they talked a while. And he's an extremely humble, humble man, and he knows the danger of trying to think that he's a famous person of playing the part of Jesus. And Jesus was the humblest of all. Moses, we're told, was the meekest man on the face of the earth, and yet he is the most powerful man. And how humble would God's son have to be to go through what you just saw for you or for me? That's humility to the max. To put up with our nonsense and our fleshly ways and our carnal ways, and yet to go through that for you and me. How sad this must have been for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to watch her son go through this. Imagine the suffering she went through watching this happen to her son. The soldiers mocked Jesus. It must have been horrible. Any of you being a parent, to see your son go through something like this. And even God had that well planned, that he would allow you and me to be saved. You know, it says in verse 32 through 49 that there was a man from Cyrene. His name was Simon. Now, in the clip, it depicts him as a white man, but the Cyrenians were black. I find that very interesting because the first person to pick up the cross of Jesus and walk with him was a black man. Tells you there's no racism, but man has designed racism. So this Cyrenian is coming across the countryside, is how the scriptures say, but they see him and they tell him that he has to carry the cross with him. And it said in verse 32, as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. The word compelled in the original language is a military command of a military officer telling somebody to do something at the expense of their life. So when they compelled this man, he was coming across the countryside to come into the city, probably for the Jewish holiday. Later in the New Testament, we realize that this man has two sons, and both of these sons were followers of Jesus Christ. So here we have the first black person to be put into the service of the Lord by the military and the Roman government, but yet to fall in love with Jesus and have his sons come to know Christ and to be ministers of the gospel. Cyrene, an area filled with the Cyrenians. It literally means wall, the wall. And there could be a wall between Cyrenians and heaven, or blacks in heaven, or Hispanics in heaven, or whites or Caucasians in heaven, or Asians in heaven. But Simon shows us there are no walls with God. Everybody is acceptable into heaven. Male, female, I know the Islamic religion puts down women. That's not God. God lifts up women. He lifts up the children. He lifts up the poor. He lifts up everyone and says, you're all welcome. Whosoever will, Jesus said, let him come to me, because there's no way that I could ever reject you. So Simon carries the cross of Jesus. And we find in the New Testament that there are two Cyrenians that are found working with Jesus. The one that carries the cross. And then in Acts 13:1, we find Lucius, the Cyrenian, who is a teacher. And here is this other Cyrenian that now God is going to spread the gospel through these two men, and then through Simon, the Cyrenian's two boys. And Paul even mentions them in the New Testament. You know, for your neighborhood, you may be the one person that Jesus is asking to pick up the cross. Do you realize that? In your one culture of work, you may be the person that God's asking to pick up the cross of Jesus and to follow him. Oh, you're being like Pontius Pilate and you're being very politically correct. But God could be calling you this hour as you take communion to be the one that is compelled. The urge is so strong that you'll pick up the cross of Jesus. Jesus Christ said, if any man will deny himself and pick up my cross and follow after me, he blessed those people that would do such. Lucius, a Christian teacher, and the sign said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Think about it, of what he went through for you and me. Father, we thank you so much that it is finished. It's complete. That your son paid such a tremendous price for us. We know there is all sorts of finagling, maneuvering, manipulating going on. We know that Pontius Pilate was trapped. But we know that your love was being poured out. And Father, for us to even begin to imagine the emotions that your son went through when he talked to you, why have you forsaken me? How lonely it must have been. But for every one of us that have been lonely, we can identify. For every one of us that have been betrayed, we can identify. For every one of us that have been manipulated, we can identify. And Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that there are so many little things in the crucifixion that were simply because you wanted everyone to know that you understand them. Father, may you forgive us of our sins this day. May you cleanse us of our unrighteousness and free us. May you this hour wash us and cleanse us. We just say thank you for the price you paid. And we pray that we could be worthy of the name Christian. Not trying to be nice guys and nice girls, but to be dedicated disciples. To be humble and broken and to love. There's that one scene of when the cross had to go down into the ground, it shook him. And when I see that scene of Jesus on the cross, you have to realize the nails in his feet and his hands made him in a position that he could have a little bit of bend in his legs, but all of his organs are pushed up in his chest and his heart's being pushed down, his lungs, he can barely breathe. But it says so wondrously, and he cried out with a loud voice, it's finished. It's finished for you and me. Don't need to be alcoholics anymore. Don't need to be addicts of any kind. Don't need to go from one divorce to another divorce, from one failure to another failure. It's finished. He's finished all the work for your salvation. And you just need to enjoy being alive right now. And take every moment you have and every hour for the rest of your life being thankful to God that it is finished. And it's not by any works of righteousness that you and I have done, but it's his mercy and his grace that has saved us. It's finished. He's paid the price. The devil cannot take you. You're free.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh on Chapter and Verse Radio, where the book of Matthew continues to be our area of study. The Judgment and Crucifixion of Jesus is the title of this teaching we presented on these past two broadcasts. If you know someone who needs to understand the power and the promise found in the cross, then this message could make an excellent outreach tool. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only a complete series through Matthew, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike that you can download and share. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we do covet your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. And don't forget to let the station you're listening to know how much you appreciate Chapter and Verse Radio. Make plans to join us tomorrow when we'll continue our study of Matthew here on Chapter and Verse with Mike McIntosh. This program is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.